want to commend Brother Pendergrass for a fine job this evening. We certainly appreciate the fine way in which he has led the congregation in singing. And we, as always, appreciate the congregation for working cooperatively with him in singing praises to God. It is always good for us to have the opportunity to come together as God's people, that we might worship him in spirit and in truth as we are directed in his word. We want to express appreciation to all of you for being here this evening. We have come to continue and conclude our worship service on this evening. I want to introduce you or reintroduce you to a unique character in the New Testament. He is not well known by most Christians. He has an unusual name, but he exemplified commendable character as a child of God. As a matter of fact, his character and his commitment, his actions, his spirit of selflessness, his spirit of servanthood, his spirit of dedication and devotion to the things of God, not only are they commendable, but they should be emulated. So we want to talk to you about emulating Epaphroditus. Emulating Epaphroditus. We need to try to be like Epaphroditus. We need more Epaphrodituses in the church today. There are a lot of biblical characters with which we are very familiar. They stand out. They stand out brightly in the constellation of heroes in sacred literature. Yes, and I admire all of them. Some are more of my favorites than others. When I think of faith, I think of Abraham, known as the father of the faithful. When I think of Jacob, I think of him being the supplanter, but he was also later transformed that he might be better used in the servant of God. Isaac was a great character as well. I think that his faith in allowing his father to offer him up is not less remarkable than the faith exemplified by Abraham, his father. Some have spoken of Isaac as an ordinary son of a great man and the ordinary father of a great son, speaking of Jacob. But all of these men, they are luminaries in God's constellation in Scripture. All of them have something to offer us. I'm especially impressed with the purity of Joseph and the patience of the same. We think about that stalwart soldier known as Joshua. How courageous he was, what a great general he was, what a great organizer he was. He exemplified great courage. Then I think of the prophet Jeremiah, whose heart was tender for God's people. He was known as the weeping prophet. Then I think of Daniel. That courageous, daring soul who defied the rulers and leaders and was recruited to their service and to be benefit to them. But there are a number of different individuals that I admire in the Bible. We think about Job and Job's great patience. We think about Peter and Peter's early instability and later Peter's solidity and commitment. Then I think about Paul, that globe-trotting disciple and apostle. And I think about Barnabas, who was sensitive to the needs of others, who was known as the servant of encouragement. Then I think about James and John, who used to be some pretty rough fellows. They together were known as the sons of thunder. They wanted to call down fire upon a group of individuals. Then I think about Stephen, that devoted martyr who surrendered his life for the cause of Christ. And there are many others. Think about Timothy, Paul's son in the gospel. And then I think about Titus. All of these wonderful biblical characters. But we think about Titus, but we don't think much of Epaphroditus. He's rather obscure. He's not very well known, but we need to get to know him, and we need to be like him. Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. I think God has given us many Bible characters so that we can model their behavior, so that we can imitate them and be like them. We need to be like Abraham. We need to be like Isaac. We need to be like Jacob. We need to be like Joseph and Joshua, Jeremiah and Daniel, Peter and Paul, Barnabas, James, John, Stephen, Timothy, and Titus, and not the least of Epaphroditus. Let's consider, first of all, this is Philippians 2, starting with verse number 25, the servanthood of Epaphroditus. The servanthood of Epaphroditus. He was a messenger for the churches of Philippi and Colossae. Paul says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother." He's identified as Paul's brother, but not only is that, he's identified as Paul's fellow worker. Additionally, he's identified as a fellow soldier. He was in the Lord's army. He was marching as to war as he lived a faithful life in Christ. So he was brother, he was fellow worker, he was fellow soldier. Can you be regarded genuinely and authentically as a brother? Can you be regarded as a fellow worker? Can you be regarded as a fellow soldier? Anybody soldiers? Any soldiers in the house? Got some soldiers in the house. Wonderful. There's a soldier right there. An old soldier. But he's but we can appreciate him. I want to ask you to sing a song with me. It won't take but just a very short period of time. It's the victory to win, and I'm going to have to find it. We sung this song on Wednesday morning, not too long ago, and we sung it many, many years ago, but I want to encourage you to sing it with us now. I think that's the name of it, Clifford. Victory to win. And it just emphasizes 229. All right, we got some folks quick on the draw. Quick on the draw. And I just like this song. We used to sing this song in Mount Pleasant, Texas. Willie D. Davenport at Shepherd Street used to love to lead this song, Victory to Win. So y'all help me out. I'm going to try to sing this. I have to get away from there. No, not victory in Jesus. No, that's the wrong one.
Victory to win.
Yes, sir. 228. Okay, there we are. You were close. Yeah, you were almost on target. Okay. Try to follow along with me. Let us sing. Pressing the battle in Jesus' name, a victory to win. Raising the banner of truth and love o'er fields of vice and sin. Onward our soldiers in bright array, marching, yes, marching from day to day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp o'er fields of vice and sin. Onward our soldiers in bright array, marching, yes, marching from day to day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Pressing the battle in Jesus' name, the victory is sure. Jesus, our leader in this great fight, will to the end endure. He will lead faithfully in the way where is your victory every day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp o'er fields of vice and sin. Onward our soldiers in bright array, marching, yes, marching from day to day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Pressing the battle in Jesus' name till victory is won. Showing the world that the Father's will must here on earth be done. Showing the wicked in vain as they'll fight against the great leader of truth and right. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp o'er fields of vice and sin. Onward our soldiers in bright array, marching, yes, marching from day to day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Tramp, 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 tramp o'er fields of vice and sin. Onward our soldiers in bright array, marching, yes, marching from day to day. Tramp, 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 tramp the victory to win. Thank you for your cooperation in helping me to sing that song, but we are all in the army of the Lord, and we are committed to winning the victory. We are fellow soldiers in the Lord's army. But not only is Epaphroditus spoken of as being a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, but he said to the Philippians, your messenger. He was a trustworthy individual. And they, at Philippi, sent needed funds to Paul that his ministry might continue. He was not only a messenger, but he was a servant, as we consider his servanthood, the one who ministered to my needs. He was a multifaceted and multi-talented servant. He recognized the truth articulated by Paul in Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Amen. We have the opportunity as God's children to serve one another. And it's not difficult, it's not hard to serve one another, to serve each other when we love each other, when we are committed to Christ and committed to the welfare of our brethren. It is not difficult. It is not hard. We consider his servanthood. We consider his selflessness. In verse 26, since he was longing for you all, that is for the Christians at Philippi, and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Isn't that something? He wasn't distressed because he was sick. He was distressed because the Philippians had heard that he was sick. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned more about them and about how they would be affected by his illness. Distressed because they heard he was sick. It reminds me of the spirit exemplified by Paul in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Epaphroditus was more concerned about other folk, about his brothers and sisters, more concerned about them than about himself. He had a sacrificial spirit likewise. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him. God spared him. But not only did God have mercy on Epaphroditus, but he had mercy on Paul. Likewise, not only on him, but on me also. He knew how much Paul loved Epaphroditus. He knew how much Paul had depended upon Epaphroditus. He knew how Paul had worked in close association with Epaphroditus. And so the Lord had mercy on him, sparing the life of Epaphroditus, but also sparing Paul the grief that would have attended his loss. Paul said, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. We're going to look at his sacrificial spirit in a moment in verse number 30. Verse number 30 in just one moment. Paul says, therefore I sent him the more eagerly, in verse 28, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. I'm going to be glad when Epaphroditus returns home so that you can be reunited with him. I'm going to be less sorrowful. And the Philippians were going to rejoice because Epaphroditus had survived. He says, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness and hold such men in esteem. Consider his sacrificial spirit, especially as it is seen in verse number 30. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That he was so concerned about Paul and doing the work of the Lord, making sure that Paul's needs were met, that he risked his own life. Wasn't really concerned about his life. He was concerned about serving Paul and being involved in the work of the Lord. Verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. He's saying, you've sent to me. You have sent funds to me that my work should continue and my needs will be met. But don't worry. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Epaphroditus was more concerned about the work of the Lord and meeting the needs of Paul and others than he was about himself. He was committed to others, devoted to others. Years ago, a man wrote a little poem, I'm gonna close with it, called simply Others. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I'll do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep and all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless to live for others. Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Help me live for others that I may live like thee. Jesus not only lived for others, for you and me, and for all the world, but Jesus died for others as well. And Brother Epaphroditus came close to death as he was ministering to others. Let's strive to be like Epaphroditus. Let's strive to be servants like him. Let's strive to demonstrate selflessness like him. Let us strive to put into action his sacrificial spirit. Let us strive to live for others. I'd like for you to think about that as we go into this week. Let us think more of others than we do about ourselves. At this point, let's think about ourselves more than others. As we examine ourselves, as we evaluate our lives, as we look at the nature of the relationship we have with God, as we do sort of a checkup from the neck up, let's focus on ourselves now and determine what is the nature of the relationship we have with God. If we stand a guilty distance from him, if we have not been committed to him as we should, we can make the necessary or take the necessary remedial measures now to bring our relationship back to what it should be and where it should be. If you have moved away from God in your relationship, why not recommit your life to him through repentance, confession, and prayer as we together stand and as we sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you by?